It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. Before we hear tonight's story, Fibber and Molly would like you to listen to this.
Folks, I'd venture to say that most of you know what real trouble, sickness, and accidents can bring a family, especially if it's Dad who gets ill or injured. Not only are medical expenses budget-breaking, but if Dad's salary check is cut off when he's unable to work, things can be rough and tough for the whole family.
We're talking, of course, about the Prudential Insurance Company's new income protection and hospital and surgical expense plans.
These new plans of Prudential's are outstanding in the field of sickness and accident insurance. They've got certain protective features few other plans have. So, friends, to get the facts on how you can meet the high cost of sickness and accidents for your family, we've got a folder we want you to have.
It'll give you an idea how the Prudential can tailor sickness and accident plans to fit your family needs. Just write your name and address on a card with the word sickness and accident.
And send it to Fibber, McGee, and Molly, Box 1212, Newark, New Jersey.
That's Box 1212, Newark, New Jersey. Do it today, huh?
It's important for you and for your family.
The celebrated McGee versus Gamble mock trial goes into its second session tonight at the Wistful Vista Law School. Purpose of the trial is to decide whether the doctor owes McGee $5 or whether the five was a gift, because...
You see, Wimp, when Doc says to me, give me $5, will you? I handed it to him because I naturally figured he wanted to borrow it.
Isn't that what you think, Mr. Wimple?
Of course. But now he claims you gave it to him as a gift?
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Oh, the doctor's just being mischievous, Mr. Wimple. Just having a little fun with this thing.
Yeah, at my expense. Because if I don't win the case, he gets to keep my dough. That's why I want you to come along to the trial with us, Wimp, and be a witness for me. Character witness.
Oh, I'll be glad to help out, Mr. McGee. Anything at all.
Well, McGee's lawyer just wants you to get up on the stand and tell the court all about Mr. McGee.
All about him?
Well, all the nice things, of course. All you got to do is tell the judge that I'm an upright citizen with a lot of reliability and a good reputation. I'm honest, trustworthy, courteous, kind, and dependable, right?
You left out loyal, straightforward, and clean, dearie.
Yeah, well, them too. Well, come on, you'll be the first witness, Wimp. Let's get on down to the law school.
All right, Mr. Walker, you may proceed with the case.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Wimple, as counsel for Mr. McGee, I've called you to the witness stand to testify concerning his character.
Mr. McGee's character? Well, he is, let me see now, He is an upright citizen with a lot of reliability and a good reputation. He is honest, trustworthy, courteous, kind, and dependable. And also loyal and straightforward...
One moment, if you please.
Who's that loudmouth?
I am counsel for Dr. Gamble. Who taught you what to say about Mr. McGee?
Uh-oh.
I object.
You can't object, McGee. Sit down.
Who says I can't, you big bully?
Oh, McGee, don't...
I do. For heaven's sake, shut up.
Dr. Gamble, I am presiding in this courtroom.
You tell him, Judge. Sure.
And as the presiding official, I also wish to say, you shut up, Mr. McGee.
Second the motion.
You tell him, Judge.
The remark goes for you, too, Doctor. Order, please. Order in the courtroom. Parties in this case will stop this bickering. What do you think we have lawyers for?
Yes, let the boys do the bickering for you, McGee. Now, quiet.
You may proceed, Mr. Shane.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Wimple...
Proceed, Mr. Shane.
The question before the court is whether a certain $5, which Mr. McGee handed to Dr. Gamble, was a loan or a gift.
No question about it.
Hush, McGee, listen.
In your opinion, Mr. Wimple, would you say Mr. McGee is a man who might give something to a friend as a gift and then change his mind later and take it back?
Oh, how'd you know about that?
What? About what?
Is that a fountain pen? The one he ran out and bought me for Christmas the year I gave him that round package that he thought was a bowling ball. Only when he opened it and it was a plum pudding, he took the pen back.
Oh, fine. Boy, does he hold a grudge.
I didn't know about it, so this is news.
Oh, then you must mean the beautiful necktie he gave Dr. Gamble after he had pneumonia and the doctor pulled him through.
Oh. Necktie?
Yes, the one that after Mr. McGee got his bill for the pneumonia, he yanked the tie off Dr. Gamble's neck at the Elks Club banquet without even untying it. And I never will know how he did that because to me...
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute.
Did you know the right breakfast for your children should have five parts? Did you know the color of a vegetable is mighty important to your children's diet? Did you know there is an approved way to introduce new foods into your child's diet? No mother should miss Dr. Benjamin Spock's important article, Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care Cookbook, written with nutritionist Miriam Loewenberg. It's in the March Woman's Home Companion. 10 pages of recipes, the 7 basic rules of menu planning that'll make even those fussy eaters eat well. And in the same exciting issue, read the dramatic article on one of today's most hotly debated questions. What's the truth about children born through modern scientific methods? Are they our most loved children? Get your copy of Woman's Home Companion today. So many timely, helpful articles to make your life easier. So much intriguing fiction to entertain you. You just can't afford to miss Woman's Home Companion.
Well, Mr. Wimple certainly was a big help, dearie. Your goose is cooked to a nice crisp brown.
Some witness he was. It's a good thing I'm not being tried for horse stealing. The jury'd be out looking for a cottonwood tree with a low limb by now.
Well, I still think we've got the law on our side. And I can cite some cases that'll make the judge sit up and take
notice. If Your Honor, please, I have a character witness for Dr. Gamble I'd like to call to the stand.
Who's he got, Frank? Can you see?
Go ahead, Mr. Shane.
Mr. McGee, will you take the stand, please?
Huh? Me? Me testify about Doc Gamble's character? Oh, brother, will I?
Well, this is a surprising
turn. McGee, now don't get up there and be insulting.
Insulting? I'll murder that big fat burglar. This is the break we've been waiting for, Frank. I'll fracture him. Boy.
Take the stand, please.
I'm glad to, Judge, Your Honor. I'm happy to say, Mr. Shane, that I'm happy to testify about the character of that big fat character you represent.
All right, sir. Now, if you'll kindly...
Sit right here. I know. I've been a witness before. Now, to begin with, Bud, this client of yours is a guy with the scruples of a hungry hyena, the manners of a moose, and the high moral standards of a lower Slavovian money changer.
What? Why,
Mr. McGee, just a minute.
When it comes to money, murder. He thinks no more of a nickel than you do of your mother, Arnie. And if that guy nursed his patients like he nurses his nickels, they'd all get well and go home.
If you please, sir, will you...
There's a guy that can diagnose the swelling in a wallet from clear across the room and tell whether it's stuffed with ones or tens at the first look.
Your Honor, will you please do something?
I wouldn't call Doc Gamble a Jesse James because I understand Jesse worked with a gun. Doc works with a knife. I've seen him take money away from a defenseless patient at the point of a knife many a time.
Arnie, Judge!
In fact, he took $300 and a small appendix away from old man McDonald just last year, the third...
Just a minute. Hold it, please.
Oh. Am I going too fast for you, son?
The jury will disregard the previous statements.
Before we begin your testimony, Mr. McGee, kindly raise your right hand.
My right hand?
That's it. Do you solemnly swear that what you are about to say is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
So nothing but the truth, nothing else? Gee whiz, do I have to? Swear to it?
Yes, you do.
Well, by George, that does it. Some court you're running here where I got to stand up and solemnly swear to help the enemy.
All we want is the truth, Mr. McGee.
Well, my gosh, Arnie's going to ask me if Doc is honest and a lot of stuff like that, and if I'm not allowed to say anything but the truth, I object. How can I win this case when you put a lot of restrictions on my free speech? And I claim this whole thing is a lot of malt.
This money was handed to the defendant in response to a request. I cite the Delaware Superior Court, 1897, in One Penny Will, page 119. Quote, where one loans money at the request of another, the law implies a contract to repay, unquote.
However, Your Honor, the case of Langdon versus Hughes, 113, Illinois Appellate Court, 203, establish that a person can't make himself the creditor of another without the other's consent.
And I refuse to give my consent.
You refuse to give your consent?
Yeah.
You refuse to give me my $5 back? You're just full of refuse, ain't you, Doctor?
You might as well give up, McGee. I think they've got us.
Doggone it, if he's so determined to keep my $5, let him keep it. If he's so hard up, he's got to go... Hey, wait a minute.
In the case of Crawford versus Hurst, Your Honor...
Hey, Frank, hold it, Frank. Come here a minute.
Yes, Mr. McGee?
I just got a great idea, Frank. Yeah, tell the judge. No, I'll tell him myself. Boy, oh boy, I'll put a crimp in that big fat windbag that'll... Oh, boy, watch this.
What are you going to do now, McGee? Let's drop the whole thing.
If Your Honor please.
What is it, Mr. McGee?
I want to change my plea, or accusation, or whatever you call it.
What?
Yes, sir. I hereby agree that the doctor didn't ask for a loan from me. He asked for a gift. And I further agree that I freely gave him the $5 as a gift, and I don't expect any repayment.
What?
Well, Mr. McGee, you can't throw away the whole case.
He just did, Frank. McGee, what's your idea?
Just listen, kids. You'll catch on. I gave him this $5 gift, Your Honor, because we are old and true friends. And realizing that my dear friend was sorely in need of money, I gave it freely.
What? Honor, you hear what he's trying to do?
Furthermore, Your Honor, we have many friends among our brother Elks. And I'm sure that when I spread the word that the poor doctor is so destitute, he has to cash $5 here and there, our brother Elks will gladly chip in to help the poor old witch doctor out. I rest.
Oh, are you the sly one?
Well, he's too fast for me.
Oh, no, you don't. You can't do that. Your Honor, I wish to stipulate that the $5 in question was a loan, and I'm ready to pay it back right now.
You can't pay it back. It was a gift.
No, it was a loan.
Gift? I won't take it.
A loan, you gotta take it.
Gentlemen. We're right back where we were when we started. Only now you've each hopped over to the other side. We'll have to go back and start all over. Case continued till tomorrow night.
I'll be here.
Fibber and Molly will be right back.
How much difference can a shampoo make in the appearance of your hair? You'll find out after your first sudsing with Dial shampoo. Because this new shampoo gives your hair that diamond sparkle look, a bright, shiny look you'll love. And with Dial shampoo, you get loads of creamy, rich, lanolated lather, too. It leaves every strand of your hair ever so soft, ever so easy to manage, even right after shampooing. Once you try new Dial shampoo, you'll know how true this little song is.
Sparkle, sparkle, your hair too. Sparkles after Dial shampoo. Dial shampoo gets your hair clean. Dial shampoo gives your hair sheen. Diamond sparkle, that's for you when you use Dial shampoo.
Look for Dial shampoo in the unbreakable squeeze bottle at your favorite store.
Heavenly days of all the mixed up messes.
Yeah, I'm beginning to enjoy it myself now. Really got old Fatso squirming.
Well, what happens tomorrow night? You're trying to prove now that you gave him the money, and he's trying to prove you loaned it to him, right?
Sure. Don't you see, kiddo? I got Doc working on my side now. Soon as he proves it was all a loan, I'll take my $5 and go home.
Oh, you are a slicker.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Bill Thompson as Mr. Wimple and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. Frank and Arnie are played by Billy Idelson and Charlie Smith, and the judge by Jack Mather. This is John Wall saying tomorrow night should bring a verdict in this mighty courtroom drama. Don't wait for the morning papers to find out. Tune in for NBC's on-the-spot coverage tomorrow night. Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.